sexy, spooky bones.
Hello and welcome to The Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I'm Rolando.
And I'm Johnny. Hello.
The what? Hello?
Hi, hello. Hi, everyone.
And welcome to the show. This week we'll review Bone Lake.
We are
obligated.
We watch the movie so you don't have to.
As always, John will give us the plot in 5 words. We'll give our first thoughts and then go to a deep spoiler analysis. But John, we are, I don't know. 4 weeks in. We're finally in February. It took 6 years to get out of January, but we're finally in February.
February, my favorite scam month, because you still got to pay month on the first, even though there's way less days in this month.
Oh, that's true. I thought you were going to talk about that. It's Black History Month, the shortest month of the year.
No, that also sucks. Yeah. Remember when they did a Game of Thrones calendar and Peter Dinklage was February, and he said, I'm not going to forget this.
No, I don't remember this. That's funny. Because it's...
Well,
romantic
because it's romantic and wonderful. Valentine's Day, another scam.
Another scam, yeah.
About a saint that had nothing to do with anything that we celebrate.
Do you have any plans for that? Or
yeah, hopefully getting some paychecks.
Getting some paychecks.
Get that bag, make that bread.
If you want to listen to any of our other podcasts, you can do that by finding Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your podcatcher of choice. According to the algorithm, Apple Podcasts is the most popular podcatcher of choice. So
nice. You know, because to be quite honest, I look at that list sometimes. I'm like, I haven't heard of like 60% of these.
That doesn't mean they don't exist.
It doesn't mean they don't. Yeah, that's true.
But yeah. Listen to our last show. What did we last review? Tales from the Dark Side.
Yes.
The movie.
There you go.
Clarify.
You know what? We've reviewed one really good movie this year that we can both agree was really good. It was Kaidan. Right?
Bone Lake?
Or was that last year?
That was 2 weeks ago. Yeah. Slow start to the year.
Yeah. Together was okay.
It was fine.
It was okay.
Yeah, actually, a lot of the movies we're reviewing are like stuff we never got around to, that we heard about but never got around to watching, which is usually how it breaks down. Yeah. I think because last year was...
Something better always comes up.
We had a way different year last year. We had like Companion, Hard Eyes out at this time, which ended up being some of our favorite movies.
What was the other... God, it was really good. The one about the creature feature one with...
Wolfman.
What's her name from... Euphoria.
Dune.
Oh my god, I'm blanking on the name of it. It's like a creature feature. It's like some sort of bird is named after... It's named after some sort of bird.
Cuckoo? Cuckoo. Cuckoo. Yeah, there you go. That was okay. It was fine.
I liked it. Like a little creature feature.
All right. We've delayed long enough. We're talking about Bone Lake. John, do you want to give us the plot in 5 words?
Johnny.
5 words.
Plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please.
In at number 3 for Bone Lake. I guess crime starts here.
That's a good one.
Coming in at number 2 for Bone Lake, couple finds strong family bond.
Okay. Yeah.
And then coming in at number 1 for Bone Lake, more like Boner Cum Lake. I exhausted all of them and I decided.
Okay. Bone Lake.
Which, by the way, there's going to be very little boning, if any.
This movie.
There is no ejaculate. There is no bones.
I think this.
There's a lake.
There's a conversation of bones.
It's true.
But yeah. So this movie kind of got on my radar because it was sort of pitched, or people were talking about it online as if it was like a throwback to kind of a different era where like there's like, it's a horror movie thriller, but it has like sex, or like there's some sort of like erotic thriller is what they used to be called. Not much made anymore. We saw something like this last year too, like, with Suitable Flesh.
Suitable Flesh.
It was kind of pitched that way too.
I will say something, well, I guess not the same. Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I personally think it missed a mark on all those things.
Mm-hmm.
Like collectively, all around, could have decided what it was trying to be.
Okay, yeah.
So like the moments where I was like, "Oh, this is supposed to be funny," I get it, but at this point, I'm not humored at all. Like I think the last shot was supposed to be like humorous, right? Kind of like a la The Graduate, sort of. And I was like, "That okay?"
Oh, we're talking the okay. I know what you're talking about.
I'm just saying, like, one instance of something happening, right? Which I don't even think that's a spoiler, because I don't even... It made no sense to me.
Yeah. I know what you mean. So, you know, lately I've been pro-advocate of, you know...
Boner cum lake.
Yeah, that it's fine. Like, I think some people... could be a generational thing, right? But, like, people feel, like, outraged that they're... Why is there nudity in movies? There shouldn't be. And that it was very exploitive. Which is all true. That's actually very true, you know. But I'm of the thought, like, why not return to this... As long as it's done in a way that is, like... Tasteful is not the right word. But as long as it's done in a smart way, in a clever way, then...
Rwanda wants some tasty, tasty nudes.
You know, I love a good HBO show. So,
yeah,
you know, there's buns, there's peens, there's vag, you know, stuff like that. I'm totally okay with that. As long as it serves the plot.
And some gadge.
Yeah, as long as it serves the plot. Like, I'm okay with that because, yes, I'm probably being a contrarian because I think most people feel like nudity really isn't in movies and it is very exploitive. We just covered maybe the most exploitive franchise of this, Friday the 13th. That is, they literally became a joke about how could, there has to be a scene in those movies where, like, somebody has to have sex or take their clothes off, and then Jason kills them or something like that, to where it became kind of like people started reading so much into it that where, like, they thought Jason was sort of a metaphor for premarital sex, which is actually not the case whatsoever. That's just weird, dumb overthinkingness.
Yeah, which is really funny. You also have something dangling off.
Oh, thank you. My earmuffs are falling apart. Thank you.
Yeah, I think both of our earmuffs are tearing apart right now. The Friday the 13th series was really funny, where we like are visiting these tropes, and it's like, I think they're just tropes because porn directors kept
exactly
these movies. It has nothing to do with Jason. Like, oh, he's afraid of water. I'm like, I don't think that's ever really established. I mean, the reality is he swam out of the lake and lived a life to be an adult.
That's true. He did. He lived that fucking hobo life.
Yeah. And then there's
Bone Lake. I think you kind of hit the nail on the head. You want to elaborate on that about how it's half measures? What specifically didn't you really like about this?
Well, it was like the opening, the cold open, you have two people running naked, which this is like one of the other instances where like it was unnecessary, but it was funny, I guess. And I feel like it was trying to set the mood for the movie, right? Where the guy is running away and he's like, oh, forget, fuck this. And he tries to run away. He gets shot in the butt with an arrow and then his shot through the testicles. There's like a comical shot of some balls and an arrow going through it. Mm-hmm. And then the girl that's running away naked falls onto a tree branch. You're like, okay, it's going to be that kind of movie. And it's not. It does not happen. Nothing like that happens for another hour and 15.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then when anything like that starts to happen, I forgot it was supposed to be funny. There's like another part where like this couple's having sex and he's like, oh, are you about to come? And it's, I made a joke about like, wow, they didn't, you know, they could try acting, right? They didn't have to actually have to have sex on screen because it's such a poorly done scene. They don't, if it was for comical effect, it didn't land for me.
Right.
I think like, you know, neither of them were trying very hard. I don't know if it was like a comfort thing. I don't know. I'm trying not to be too hard on that scene, but
okay,
like the movie kept trying to be funny and then it wasn't, and then when it tried to be a thriller it wasn't doing it for me. It just felt kind of goofy.
I feel similarly. Like I think it's trying really hard to be a couple of things, and I think it, because of that, I think it fails on most things.
Yeah, like the direction was all over the place sometimes.
Right. Like, are we erotic thriller? Are we a horror movie? Are we a drama? I mean, I get the intent here, right? That most relationships are, I guess the idea here is that most relationships are very, like, could easily be pulled apart, right? And that's, and it's a sort of like an analogy for it, that not, even though people say they have strong relationships, just there are things, white lies that couples say to each other to kind of keep the relationship together. And so there's a lot of like things they're not honest about. But if they're like pulling apart these, or picking at these things, they could be easily pulled apart. and sort of as that's the metaphor for, so, or the setup, right? That that this couple, they go out to this Airbnb, I guess. It was never really established, but they rented some mansion, and oh, there's another couple there, and the other couple's.
I also like that they established that dude fucking quit his job to be a writer, and Liz's girlfriend is like paying for everything.
Yeah.
And she didn't know that they were staying at a place like that.
Oh, yeah, I gotcha. Yeah.
He's just like, oh, fuck. I'd be pissed.
Did he quit his job or got fired? I don't remember. It's one or the other, right?
I think, from what I understood, he quit his job so he could focus on writing.
And she didn't like that, yeah.
No, she was just like, okay, well, there is no plan. I'm just the only income now.
Yeah, and even though you didn't get much from it, it's the seniors you were talking about where he immediately says like, oh, did you come? It's because she isn't satisfied sexually and she tends to like...
Yeah.
Pleasure herself on the side because she's not being met sexually by him.
Yeah, which is, there's like weird where it makes it seem like he's being really like what's the word I'm looking for, like he catches her pleasuring herself in the tub,
right.
And then gets like pissed, and then there's like they go into a sex room at some point, and later she's like, why don't we use toys, and he's like, how come I'm not enough, basically, and it makes it seem like, oh, this guy sucks, and then he's like, ah, she cheated on me. I'm like, okay, where the fuck, okay,
right.
It's like, oh, it just kept going, like, oh, it's because she cheated on me, so I'm insecure. I'm like, okay,
yeah,
damn, this movie just keeps unraveling,
right? Yeah,
which I guess is the idea. But
yeah, that this relationship is like on its surface fine, but then you start pulling at it, it kind of like falls apart. So
yeah.
And it's supposed to be like this idea that this I guess younger hot couple, even though the established, like you had mentioned off air, that they are younger than what they look in age, right? Like they're supposed to be, the couple of the main stars here, Sage and Diego, the character names are like, they're supposed to be right out of college or something. Yeah
they met in college like three years ago, and I was like, hold on, I like rewound it, like, did I hear that right?
And then you have,
I guess they were going in for their doctorates is what was happening, and then
sure. Sure. And then like this other couple is supposed to be younger than them. I don't think they established an age other than how long they've been dating.
No, it, well, I guess I gotta wait till spoilers before I start to dissect the, like, I don't understand,
right, yeah, the motivation of what's going on here. Yeah,
yeah, I mean, I kind of get that. I just don't understand, like, how young are these people supposed to be? There's a lot of timeline issues.
Yeah, I agree. Establishing them, I think it was kind of a mistake establishing them, like, oh, we're right out of college. Because they don't play that way at all. Because if you just look at them for like half a second, you could see they're in their 30s. I mean, and that they,
yes. I mean, not even
without even checking that, yeah. The other couple, Will and Rose, or Sin, are like supposed to be younger. Right? They're played much younger, but they're supposed to be closer in age.
I feel like much younger, yeah.
And I don't know, they're supposed to be like the hotter couple, I guess.
But they're just a couple of castaways, right? Wilson.
Who? Wilson. Oh, that's a good, yeah. Why is her name Sin? What is that short for? Cindy? Oh, yeah, you're right. I forgot they did say what it was short for. Wow. Yeah. Oh. Okay.
Anyway, yeah, I don't think it hit the mark of like being a sexy erotic thriller either.
Yeah.
It's just a whole, like, this other younger couple keeps separately trying to get the other couple to cheat on each other or whatever.
But it's like, that's part, that was the game, right? Like where they were supposed to be like how are they going to be able to manipulate them into, because they're supposed to be, it's supposed to be like,
what,
weird.
Wait, what game are we, is that a spoiler?
No, because movie, right? It's the way to describe that
it's quite obvious what's gonna happen.
That there's a lot of coincidences, right? Like this happens. I mean, there's like a form of manipulation, however you want to call it, right? Like they're trying to, it's very intense that Will and Sin are like trying to manipulate Sage and Diego into what, we don't know until we can talk about it in spoilers, but they're trying to seduce them, basically.
Yeah,
and it's pretty evident and obvious, and by that description I'm pretty sure you can guess where this movie is going. There's a door with the padlock and I think you can, they mentioned very clearly, yeah. Like, do you think a big place like this has cameras? Very intently.
Yeah.
Kind of like make you to start questioning, like, this perfect getaway.
The one thing I'll give this movie is the couple doesn't, our like main protagonist couple, they don't fall for all the same tropes, really. They're just kind of like, all right, this is what's got to be going on, right? Like when what was her name? The girlfriend or whatever was like, did you tell Will about me catching me in the bathtub? And he's like, no. And he's like, she's like, okay. Then they got to be watching us, you know?
Right.
Or they knew that they were listening through the door, so they pretended to fight and that was a distraction.
Mm-hmm. Very true.
I guess there's only one twist you couldn't see coming. Because it felt real out of left field. I'm like, what just happened? Or I should say right field, right?
I don't know. You gotta break that one down for me.
You gotta protect the pedophiles in America is what's happening in the right field.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, we can go there if you'd like. I mean, if you want to go to spoilers.
No, I feel like not talking about politics. I'm just kidding.
Do you want to go to
release all the files?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, that'd be kind of a spoiler, right? Already. What? If we talk about
the Melania the movie,
crazy twist.
No, I'm just kidding.
Have you seen that thing where it's a MAGA man using Melania theaters for Grindr hookups?
Yeah.
Hey, you know, I think the only good choice that they made for that docu-movie was getting Brett Ratner back in the saddle.
Very canceled Brett Ratner.
Yeah, good job all around. Just really helps the image.
Yeah, famously, actress walked in on him slamming shrimp in one hand and is jerking off in the other. Sweet guy this guy was.
Yeah, what in the Louis C.K. was that about?
What in the Louis C.K.? Yeah, all right. Let's go to spoilers.
Wait! No, stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Stop. Please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into...
Spoilers!
Yeah, they're
supposed to be twins, by the way. They could not buy that either. Brother and sister.
This is where I kind of checked out, because I feel like they didn't even... This movie's half measures, right? So like they didn't even like pretend there was another option other for Will and Center clearly manipulating them and not even like maybe literally the second act they reveal that they're the ones that are basically like tricked them into. There's like a whole sequence where we're showing them having sex and then they're like it's their home and that they bring couples there. To what? Break them up and then kill them?
Yeah, and I'm trying to figure out. They show like a newspaper clip in one of the rooms, and yeah. It's the couple you see in the cold open, and that was supposed to be 15 years ago. What? That's what they said. That's what the little article says. Like 15 years ago, these two people died. And I'm like, how old are these siblings? I don't understand.
How long have they been killing?
That's what I'm saying. Like crime starts young, I guess. They were like 12 and like 12. I don't know. Yeah.
And so like they're... brother and sister or twins, as you say. Sure, I believe you. But so then it becomes like them basically trying to kill Sage and Diego. But like you said, I think it was pretty smart that like Sage and Diego kind of got on the same page about things and there wasn't this like dumb I can't trust you thing. It was just sort of they kind of just worked together to get out of the situation.
The only thing is they play it like they don't want to hurt Sin and Will. And that's the only thing that prolongs the last act.
Right,
because these antagonists are terrible at fighting.
Yeah, and I guess you can imagine what happens. They kind of fight. They use axes. And even this horror element, this part of the movie, this horror element, right, where there's violence, is
flat somehow. I don't know. Yeah, it's gory. It's just not. I wasn't interested, which is really strange.
Yeah,
like what Will gets an axe in the back of the head by what's her name? Shit, Diego
Will.
And
Sage.
Sage, yeah, Sage. God. And she, because I guess there was this whole thing where he's like, I'll give you a free shot because I'm a gentleman, hit me with an axe. And I was like, why don't you just fucking do it? Or like stab him in the side, and then you can run away. You don't have to like chop his head off. I don't think, for one, you'd have to be pretty powerful to do that. So don't worry about it.
Yeah. At some point, he burnishes busts out a chainsaw. And
Oh, that's right. It just comes out of nowhere. And then that's where she hits him in the back of the head. And then he falls and the chainsaw starts to cut him up.
But let me describe, you've described that perfectly, but it's done in the most obvious way possible. The least like graphic way to have actually shot any scene like that. So you're not even like satisfied with the gore aspect or like quote unquote the horror aspect of it. With these,
I guess every time like they become gory, it's very college shot, sort of like you don't see it happen, but you know what happened, and then they show you the aftermath.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's what you and I both mean, like half measures, right? Like either go completely in on the bone, emphasize, underline the word bone in Bone Lake, and just go completely crazy with the erotic thriller part of it, or like the really gore aspect of it, or this like game cat and mouse thing they're trying to play with the couple, and none of it's really done well, you know.
And I guess you could tell it's low budget because they got this mansion and they only shoot in like 4 rooms.
Yeah, it's a good observation. Yeah. I don't know. What happens here? They Will dies, and then they get on a boat, and then
fucking Sin is hiding in the corner. Mind you, this is like a little like a speedboat, not like see everybody on the boat when you get on this boat. Let's put it that way.
It almost feels like I like how they take the time to be like, oh, it's called Bone Lake because we thought, oh, because people bone here. But there's apparently a lot of deaths and bones in the lake that have been found. Yeah. So there you go. That's your
explanation. And they push their cars into the lake too. I'm like, what? Eventually, I don't think that's the smartest thing to do, but I guess they're not supposed to be smart. I don't know.
Would you say by the end of this movie, the last shot of this movie is sort of a parallel to Graduate? Were you offended by it? Because you seem really upset about it earlier, or annoyed by it. I wouldn't say offended, but
I feel like I was just kind of more annoyed, because then again, that's where I was like, I think this is supposed to be humorous. But like, what is this movie supposed to be?
It kind of like ends, for anybody who don't know, like the end of The Graduate. It's famously Dustin Hoffman and I don't remember her name, but the female protagonist, they like, he saves her from a marriage that was prearranged, and they run out and they get in the bus, and then they just sit there sort of both staring out into like what's next. It's supposed to represent like what's next for these people's lives, you know. They've chosen each other, but we don't even know if they're going to be okay, right? Because they're still I don't know. There's a lot of things you can read into that ending, right? It's not the happy ending. It's supposed to be the way it's played up to be. And I guess this is sort of the same.
This one, it's
idea
that they kill Sin, who I thought this was kind of lame, but like she pops out. I guess she has a knife. Diego hits her with an axe, and then they're like exhausted, looking at each other, and she comes out of the boat again, which, you know, I don't know how she could have done it quietly enough for Diego to not really notice until like 10 seconds later. And then he hits her with the axe again because she just stands there. Like she comes out of the boat, she stands up tall, and then that's all she does. And there's like a long dragged out like slow-mo sequence where hits her with the axe, her jaw is like basically gone, and then they push her off the boat, and then they reverse the propellers into her. Luckily, poetically, the finger, which, we forgot to mention earlier, Diego divulged to Will that he's going to propose to Sage, and he's got his grandmother's, you know, ring. Mm. And he stole that ring and proposed to Will, propose to Sin, to upset him. Right. So she had the ring on. Her finger gets cut off in the propellers, I guess, floats to the top. He takes the ring off, puts it on her finger. They're both covered in blood from the chainsaw thing. I forgot about that. Like, that was also supposed to be funny, I think. Yeah. And then they do the whole Graduate thing, where I guess the idea is, like, if they've been through that, they can go through anything. But also, like, I don't know.
Working together may not have solved all their relationship problems, I guess. No. They still have those problems, even if they both have worked to keep each other
alive.
That's
it. That's Bone Lake.
Not enough bones. That's all I got to say.
Not enough bones. Truthfully, not enough lake.
Everybody's pretty dry.
Yeah, except for when it rains randomly.
Yeah. Just okay. Just fine. It was okay.
Yeah.
Alrighty. Do you want to write the movie?
Sure.
Okay. So we don't have to. We could just.
It's such a short review. But
no,
like,
I mean, this is about average. It's about average. I think because we both kind of feel not strongly about it. I think so. Therefore, we have less to kind of say. I mean, I don't know.
Like, I wish I had more to say about it, but it's just, it got to a point where I was paying attention to, like, certain things, like what lighting did, where I was like, yep, average mansion, you know, mansion people like to put little, like, puck lights or quasars or magnetos, right, the LED tubes, mm-hmm. behind certain pieces of furniture to light up that corner, which is not something people do. I'm just like, oh, I'm just paying attention to random shit. Man.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I would say is that, like, I think I like the intent. I like a couple of scenes in this movie. That some of the actors were okay. I thought there was a couple of nice camera flourishes I enjoyed, but overall, not really like a satisfying movie as a whole.
Yeah, I will say I felt like the cinematographer, or maybe with the director, a lot of the shots just felt a little indulgent, a little too like the four of them are having a conversation early in the movie, and it's nothing. It's a boring conversation. And they do this spin around effect where he's handheld, probably with what are those things called? The body rigs? I forget what they're called. Anyway, and just like starts, you know, shooting around them, like walking around this circle of people talking. And I was like, I think it's kind of strange that they're just talking in the middle of the foyer instead of like sitting down or whatever. But and the conversation was not tense or interesting, so I didn't understand why the camera work was like that.
Yeah, it has the camera movement has to be motivated. Like, why are we doing this? Why is camera?
There was like another shot where it started on the ceiling and went down on top of them, and I was like, again, nothing interesting is happening.
Yeah, yeah. I think I will say this. I think compared to, I don't know the budget of this offhand, but I think it still looked pretty good for, even though it probably was a pretty small budget movie. Because I've seen, because if I notice the budget, that's ain't something. Because I tend to try to just immerse myself in the film. But if I'm like noticing like budget stuff, like what was that movie we saw that reviewed? Marshmallow. Yeah. Marshmallow, one of its biggest issues is that it looked very low budget, very cheap. It was, the cinematography was not good.
Yeah.
Now, if I had to compare this to Bone Lake, I think Bone Lake is the nicer stylized movie. But like you said, it's like there are a lot of indulgence.
Unmotivated. And I can see very much a music video director in this. If, I don't know,
yes.
I'm probably not fair to say, but I can see it.
I think that's a great point. Like Mercedes Bryce Morgan, she's comes from like music video direction. And what that, I don't know if people know this or not, but a lot of music video directors are known for their style, not for like narrative or like storytelling. It's kind of,
especially with like, no offense to music videos in the past like 10 years, but they're not what they used to be like in the 90s and early 2000s.
I think the idea is that like it's easy, well, I don't know, this might be a little controversial, but I think it's easier to compose a beautiful shot, right? But it's harder to kind of like get people to emotionally invest in like a movie by being, by not having something flashy or visually exciting happening. I don't know. I guess those are the differences, you know, between great filmmaker and a new, you know, up and coming.
Okay, director. Like compared to, what was it? Red cherry fizzle.
What do we say?
What was it called?
I don't know. What you're talking about
cherry. You remember New Cherry Flavor? No, not New Cherry Flavor. That movie where there was like a werewolf and then there was a witch and then the two girls were like running an ice cream shop and they were
shivers or something like that. Yes.
Sure, yeah. Compared to that movie, which one's better?
I would say Bone Lake would be better.
Just kidding.
Yeah. Visual sense. But that's another movie that you feel the budget of that movie. That's definitely like...
Yeah, painfully.
Yeah. But, okay. Yeah. Well, that's our little spiel. If you disagree with us, please let us know. Email us. Instagram us.
Email us, please. email us at skeletonboys@AOL.messenger.
Well, let's just say, like, we're not going to go to and promote your low-budget horror movie. Go to your screen.
If
you have an opinion about anything we said, I'll read it on the... If you have an opinion about anything we've said on this show that you want to tell us, you agree or disagree with us, I will read it on the show. But I'm uninterested in going to your screening or promote your YouTube channels. Exactly.
But you know what? I'll give this movie this. If this director, DP Combo, could just make like a comedy instead, like just something, not go all in on one thing. I don't know how to explain it.
It's just more Marshmallow music videos.
Yeah, music videos. No, but I mean, like, don't stop trying to put everything all your favorite genres into one movie, because it's not working. Try to focus on one.
Focus on the script and develop character, a visual language for that particular piece.
Because I think there's something there. It's just this movie did not land for me.
Yeah, I think it's actually well cast, even though there's a couple performances that ain't great, but it's fine. Yeah, perfectly adequate movie. All right. Let's rate the movie. John, how many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
How many sexy spooky bones will you give?
Don't do that. Just rate the movie. I'm going to give Bone Lake 4.5 sexy spooky bones.
Yeah, I'm around the same area too. I think it's about a 4.
I can't give it a 5 because I don't, for me personally, it doesn't have rewatchability.
Yeah, and I will get... Five is, for me, is sort of like there's things I liked and there's things I didn't like. And I would say there's less things I liked about this movie that I'm soft on than, say, like, or flaccid than I am hard about or enjoyed. I don't know if that's...
A horror, exotic, sexy thriller movie about an alligator called Lake Flaccid.
Lake Flaccid. Go watch...
Make that movie, guys.
Go watch Side Help. It's much better. All righty. All right, guys, gals, not binary pals. Thank you for listening. And as always,
stay spooky.